League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
See, I didn't see this story. Tony's helping us out here. Not only Dustin Johnson, did you see this? But Golf Digest reported yesterday that now Brantley, Crestmeyer, Harrison, Flint Ridge, and Brock Chattelsworth II all filed yesterday. To enter the field in London.
Yeah, I can see that.
Crazy. Yeah.
Which one of those guys went to Episcopal?
No, none of them.
Which one played in post-up?
Well, it sounds like Brock Chattelsworth II would have played a post-up.
Like, but he wouldn't go. It's just baseball league. They're just really serious about baseball.
So yesterday, SEC meetings. First question out of the box. Hey, Nick, you got any proof that Texas A&M cheated? Here's Nick.
What evidence did you have that Texas A&M bought its entire recruiting class?
You know, I didn't really say that anybody did anything wrong.
Well, you said they bought their recruiting class.
I didn't say anybody did anything wrong, okay? And I've said everything I'm going to say about this. But, you know, I think that, you know, I guess the point, and I should have never mentioned any individual institutions, I said that before, but, you know, some kind of uniform name, image, and likeness, you know, standard that supports some kind of equitable national competition, I think is really, really important in college athletics and college football.
Is Jimbo lying when he says that that they didn't do anything?
I have no problem with Jimbo. I have no problem with Jimbo at all.
That Nick is, they were, whoever that reporter is, was not afraid of Nick.
No.
I think some people maybe think they have Nick on the ropes a little bit.
Yep.
With this one, because Nick, you can tell he's in backpedal mode. And so if there's one time that you want to get a little frisky with Nick and ask tough questions, right now is the time to do it, because Nick was just there to deflect and make sure that he tamped this down. That's what he... Because I think Nick realized other people have receipts on me. This is really, I mean, I thought it was a massive miscalculation. Even if there was some truth in what he said, to put it out there the way he did, knowing that he's got people with receipts on his program probably, to me that was just unbelievably bold and maybe just a huge miscalculation. Not maybe, that was a huge miscalculation. You put yourself in a line of fire there that you didn't need to be in. For what? Bama's got huge advantages. I understand that maybe your advantage won't be as great now. Potentially, that's your fear. But why are you...
Well, you're worried about Jacksonville State.
Well, I mean, that made no sense. It's because they were both going after the same guy. And he lost out. And he knows the only way he lost out to Jacksonville State is because this kid got paid, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Nick, you got to pick your fights. That strikes me as a guy... Most husbands... Nick is married. Most husbands understand, and we learn quick, there's certain fights you fight, and there's others you just say, I'm going to let that one go.
Yeah.
This is one that I understand.
Is it worth it?
This is kind of a big one. Jackson State's not the one that you fire on. But number two, I just think for Nick to call out of school, and he even said it was a mistake, what it did was basically have guys like Travis Johnson come out on Twitter and say, oh, yeah, this is what I got from when I was recruited, although that was, I don't know, the timeline on it felt a little weird. I'm not sure. I guess Travis was talking about being recruited from Michigan State, because when he was recruited, Nick was at Michigan State, not at LSU, I don't believe, unless Travis was recruited. But I think Travis is 99-2000, And Nick didn't get to LSU until, I want to say, until 20. He was 20, so I don't know. But Travis seemed to be pretty sure that Nick offered him this level, this amount of, or that the recruiting, I guess Nick offered him a certain amount of money. He seemed pretty certain about that in his tweets. I would think that Nick wouldn't want any of that stuff out there.
Yeah, no.
So now he's trying to like,
come on, there's so many receipts on Nick and for over the years.
You said they were cheating, that they cheated.
Please. I mean,
are you calling Jimbo a liar? Now that's classic ship starter stuff right there. They're poking like people are trying to see if they can get another fight going.
Well, you know, I mean, he was told.
Greg, I wish he would.
Greg Sankey told both of them, that's it. You're done. No more of this. That we do not need. We are the SEC. We are the power of college football, and you two are acting like a couple of little kids, kindergarten kids fighting. So that's going to end. And so both of them are. Jimbo's not saying anything either. That Jimbo's just it. He's going to shut this thing down. Although Kirby Smart, do you have the Kirby Smart song? Kirby Smart was also asked. You know, Jimbo's done with Nick. Jimbo's done. I mean, he said it. I'm not answering his calls. He's done. And you see what kind of person he is, all of this stuff that he said. Well, Kirby was asked, hey, how much do you talk to Nick?
How surprised are you that Nick and Jimbo, two coaches you know very well, are coming into this meeting not speaking to each other?
We don't speak to each other, any of us. So, I mean, there's no...
When Nick Saban calls you, though, or Jimbo calls you, you answer the phone, right?
No, they don't call. I mean, I don't call them. I mean, there's not a lot of, there might be some conversation between a few guys, a few relationships. If you've been on the staff, I was somebody. I talked to Will when Will was the head coach some, but it's not commonplace for guys to be reaching out and be friendly when you compete on the field. And we're constantly competing for prospects day in and day out. So it's not super unusual to me.
But it is super unusual.
Along those lines, though, I hope you understand the question, Kirby. Since you've worked with Nick, so did Jimbo. Jimbo cast some serious aspersions at Nick Saban the way he does his job. Was any of that justified or grounded in fact in your experience?
Be honest with you, my phone started blowing up right when Jimbo hit press conference, and I haven't thought about it a day since. Because in the world that we operate in, you're worried about what's in front of you right now, which is the 15 recruits I'm trying to get on the phone, the conversations I'm trying to have. I'm not really worried about a feud between two guys that used to sit in the same staff meeting and have similar conversations. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes things get heated. You'd rather not be in the public arena. But at the end of the day, things like that happen. I mean, you guys should be on the headphones sometime. You'd think that was Mickey Mouse. So it just so happened in front of everybody. And
that is true. The stuff during games that is said on the headphones, the yelling at each other, and you know it's obviously everybody listens to the head coach, but I've heard stories about what is being said on headphones between guys, and you gotta go after the game. You go, it's okay, yeah. Oh no, you idiot! You.
I watched. So I was up in. I was up in the press box. Me and my brother up in the press box. I was 8 years old in my dad's first year of coaching at University of Houston. They were really good. They're going to go to the Cotton Bowl and take on Joe Montana and Notre Dame. And I'm up in the press box, a little kid. And it is the only time he brought us in. He brought us in for the second half of the game.
Not the press box, but
there.
The coach's box.
Coach's box, yeah. So we're in the coach's box with the coaches.
No.
They're beating the brakes off of Rice like I'd never seen. It's 56-7 at the time. Or maybe even 56-0. And they go on to win, I want to say 63-7, 63-14. And Rice scores a touchdown. And this is in the second half. It's late. Houston's going to the Cotton Bowl. They're going to the Southwest Conference Championship. They're going to win by over 40 points. And the words that I heard said, uttered, the
ugliness.
When Rice scored, the filth and the flarn and the filth that came out of these coaches' mouths across the board. I was shocked. I think my dad was shocked to an extent. I mean, it was his first year coaching. But it was like, I think my dad probably thought, oh, I can bring the kids up here. It's a big blowout. Nah, it didn't really matter. That's the stuff that was said. Now, my dad, did I ever tell you my dad had Prime, Deion Sanders shoot double rods at him?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was – so my dad was on the sideline at Tulane, and Deion was playing 1 year. I saw Deion 2 years. Once he was on the sideline, and then once he was – had a knee issue and he couldn't play. So he was he had a knee issue. He wasn't able to play. So Deion was – but I saw him up in the press box, and he was full prime. Well, anyway, Deion on the field, my dad – he made a tackle – or a play on the ball somewhere on the Tulane sideline, and my dad's chirping at him, like yelling at him or something like that, and all of a sudden, Deion just double rods on the sideline and went back out of the field. And I'm like, wow, I don't know what my dad said. But I said, well, what did you tell Deion? He goes, oh, I don't know. I just probably told him he's a horse bleed player or something. I don't know. This is what you do. It's just kind of what
That's
you
what
do.
What you do.
But yeah. I wanted to learn more about matchup zone defenses and things like that. So I got him, Tommy Jones, a longtime family friend, Mac Jones, Josh Jones, David Jones. So we grew up with that family. And Tommy was a basketball coach. He'd been head coach at HBU. He was an assistant at Rice. He was with Pat Foster at University of Houston. And he didn't get the head coaching job. Alvin Brooks did. Well, anyway, Tommy went to go coach his son. Tommy and a guy named Scott Biggett, who was played basketball for him at HBU, when HBU was kind of a really good program. Like this team was legitimate. They were taking in African import players before anyone else was in the early 80s. And so I said, hey, Tommy, do you mind? This is like mid-90s. And I'm just doing my pigskin sports handicapping stuff. I got no full-time job other than my own little business. I'm hustling. I said, hey, do you mind if I come like keep stats for y'all in the books? You know, I'd really love to learn from you and Scott Biggett more basketball stuff, more because I was really into all the basketball stuff and kind of wanted to be a scout or a coach in basketball at that particular time. He goes, yeah. And so I'm learning, you know, matchup zone concepts and all that. But what was amazing to me is they would be the nicest to referees before the game
and
to coaches, assistant to the other side. The competitive nature of coaches on the sideline, it was kind of scary because I couldn't see – like they would turn on the ref and I kind of realized, okay, they're faking before the game. But then the other coaches, they actually like, I think, on the other side. And some of the things they would yell back, how quickly they would get fired up with another coach. Coach your own team. Coach your own team. Like they're yelling at another coach. And I'm like, wow, this is the competitive nature on the sideline. I can only imagine – the pressure you're on in college.
I don't know.
That was in high school.
Have you ever watched a game Dana's coached in?
Well, he gets angry.
It's 8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about my man Doc Linville. And talk. Speaking of hair, look at this. Look at this hair. It's good. Oh, no, it's good. I'm looking at Twitch right now. Twitch, what you think of my hair right now? What do you think of Doc Linville? Well, how can you think anything but the best of Doc Linville? He's the best in the business. I mean, honestly, he's been doing this for just a few years, and he's like the number two hair replacement guy in the city. It's not really replacement. It's just hair. I call it their hair movers because they move it from the side of, or the back and to the top. And to the top, all you got to do, if you want hair on the top of your head, and I know, you know what? It's like, oh, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like it's so easy, guys. It's a 4 hours sitting in the chair, and 8 months later, you're going to have hair. I mean, it's such an easy process. Don't even think twice about that. And it's minimal discomfort. It's a wonderful process. You will love it. It's different than before. Much better. Neo-grafting. Doc Linville. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
That's just awful. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, Astros win yesterday, 3-1. Chaz McCormick. Let's hear from Chaz. Chaz McCormick came up with two big hits. He got the scoring started, knocking in Yordan with a base hit. And then in the eighth inning of a tie game, he untied it with a home run off Frankie Montas, who is really, Frankie's a good pitcher. There's no question about that. And Frankie was really, really good last night. But Chaz McCormick came to the rescue.
How do you, I guess it depends on your playing time, but how much, you know, can you build on this going forward and just, you know, if you start tomorrow, just try to build on it, get some consistency?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, whatever lineup they throw up, I mean, I have no control over, but, you know, obviously like a day-to-day, I hope I'm in the lineup tomorrow, which I believe I am. You know, I can build off it. It's, you know, it's, I haven't been playing that well lately, so today was big for me, and, you know, it's big to try. You know, players can have a good game every once in a while, but you know, I'm trying to have good games every single day. Or I know that's impossible, but you know what I mean. Be consistent up there. So
with Jake nearing a return, like how much is that kind of on your mind? Just every opportunity to try and improve.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you never really know. You know, deadline's coming up, and Myers is coming up pretty soon. So you know, you can't think about that. You know, you got to control what you can control. You know. And obviously, you know, it's just this is a very competitive team. You know, we're all about winning here. So, you know, you got to control what you can control. So, I try not to think about it. You know, and you know, every you know, soak every day in, and every time you get in the lineup, just play as hard as possible.
Well, you know, that's a good soundbite. That's good stuff. Hey, Jake's coming back. Jake was really, really good last year. Jake hasn't played baseball in a while now. Jake proved that he should have had a chance. If he doesn't get hurt, Jake probably is the center fielder, everyday center fielder here.
He's got the profile. I mean, speed, range. He's seriously fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has the speed on the base pass, the range. He's got some pop. Yeah, he should be a factor. I you know, Siri's a fun player. I don't know that Siri's going to keep Jake from getting that spot. I think Siri may find himself rocking with the Space Cowboys soon.
Yeah, I could certainly.
I mean, McCormick has flashed more.
Yeah, last year it was those two guys. I don't think Siri has done enough. He's been too inconsistent at the plate. I mean, he's spectacular when he and his. You love his speed in the center field.
He can run too.
He can run, and you love his speed on the base paths. Or why would you keep Mauricio Dubon instead of Siri?
Yeah, you could. Well, only because Siri could play more. Get him more at-bats.
True.
I mean, Siri this year is hitting .216 with an OPS of .651. He's just not.
No, he's too inconsistent.
Yeah, no. It's just not. You know, and career-wise, he got hot last year. But there's nothing really in his career that would lead you to believe that this is necessarily that last year in the small sample size was who he was going to be or in the minors. So he can run. He can steal bases late in the game for you. I mean, there is. He's got defensive replacement capability. I mean, they could go Siri. I think you do want players who have multi-position flexibility, but you could, yeah. I mean, Siri could stay up, but Jake needs to get his shot for sure. You know, the pitching has been incredible, right, for the Astros. I just went through and just manually compiled this. Do you know the Astros only had off a 31-day
month? Can you do this in Ed Fowler's voice?
Well, I looked through the paper and Houston Astros played 29 games in 31 days. It says here they took off the 9th and the 26th. Or the 2 days they actually had off. Golf, no doubt, those days. And 6 shutouts, 21-8 in the 29 games. 6 shutouts, 7 games where they allowed 1 run. 5 games where they allowed 2 runs. And 4 where they allowed 3 runs. If you're doing the math on that, that's 18 games of 2 or fewer runs and 22 of the 29 with 3 or fewer runs. I don't care what league you're looking at. That's good. Coming up next, Elroy Marty is going to join us to talk about a new driving range and putting course out in the Cypress area. We're going to do that at 7:45 here at Drive Time Houston Sports in the middle of baseball. And spend about 2 hours on it because I don't want to talk about sports.
That's how Ed rolled.
That's how Ed rolled.
Those are real stats, though.
No. Nope.
20, how about that?
22.
22 of your 29 games, you gave up three or less. 18 of 29, you gave up two runs or fewer. 18 of 29, six shutouts. Astros second in the league in shutouts with seven. Actually, the Mets have more with eight. But, man, is that – but that was – is that normal to play 29 to 31 days?
No.
Like they,
no,
they only,
remember they had
literally,
that stretch of 33 and 34 days.
Yeah, they only had nine
–
the ninth and the 26th
off. No, no, well, look at
this,
the schedule coming up. You will see that they've got – well, when you look, it says here in the chronicle.
Yeah, it says that. But also, Dustin Johnson is going to be playing for the Saudi team in the World Cup.
It's not a World Cup, but it's, yeah, it's different. In June, they've got, no, they've got more. One, two, they've got three, four. They've got 4 days off in June. So, no, that was unusual just to have 2 days off in a month. No yeah. question about that. It's normally, you know, just over, just less than once a week. You should have off. Well, this last day. Like 3 days a month, they should.
Yeah, that's – you can find – I mean, I know people joke about, oh, it's hard athlete's lifestyle.
No.
Man, the baseball players now, and when you have an off day, you're usually traveling.
Yeah, a lot of times.
It's a travel day.
It's
so,
a grind.
Like May is a grind. Think about that. If you had to grind your way to 3 hours of radio every single day –
with only
for an
2 days
month,
off?
2 days off.
No, no, no. I'd say, I'm sorry. This job's too hard. I can't do it.
we're literally sitting in chairs talking. Like, this is too much of a grind.
This is way
Three
too
hours
much.
A day
listen,
for 29 of 31 days? Hey, I didn't sign up for a coal miner's job.
Listen, one day off this week wasn't enough. I need to take another one on Friday. Okay?
I know you are actually taking one off.
I'm taking off on Friday, so because it's just too hard. You people don't understand the grind that you guys put us through. And baseball players, same. I was thinking about that, dude. It's not just that 3 hour. They've got to be at the park at 3 o'clock. They don't get out of the park until midnight.
And they don't go to
this
sleep
is
until
every day, every day.
You don't go
every
to sleep
day.
Until 1:30
and it's grinding, and it's in the cages, and it's thinking about baseball, and it's looking at a film, and it's grinding.
Of all
it's
the sports, no, of all the sports, this
it's
one,
the worst.
I think. Well, I mean, football is a physical, just,
yeah.
It's a landmine of physicality. But, A, it doesn't last as long. B, you're not playing road games where it's 90, of course, here in Houston.
You're not, you travel eight times a year. That's it.
Yeah, but also the heat, the amount of heat that you play in a lot of these games, in a lot of these parks during the summer, I would think that would wear you down, too. I think baseball is definitely the most physically arduous.
Yes, no question. It grind. It's unlike anything else. And you know what they need then is cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. So if you're grinding and you need a break and you need some respite, all you got to do is grab one of the cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights, and you know those mountains are blue. You're gonna keep it Texas chill. Keep it Texas chill, baby. That's what we're doing here in Texas. It's so hot out there. So what are you going to do? You're going to drink. I'm probably going to drink a few Coors. I did drink a few Coors Lights watching Djokovic and Nadal yesterday. Yeah, and watching Texas in the college golf tournament. Yes, I was drinking a couple, three or five or eight Coors Lights. Yes, that happened. But you know what? That's because... Because I love if I'm going to do something, I'm going to keep it chill. If I'm going to watch something, if I'm going to just hang out, if I'm going to play cards, if I'm going to play golf, if I'm going to put whatever it is I'm going to do, if I'm going to take a shower, if I'm not going to take a shower, I'm going to drink cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light because it's the world's most refreshing beer. I'm keeping Texas chill. You do your part. Keep Texas chill.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Meltzer tweeted that out about Deshaun Watson. Of course, we know that Deshaun Watson offered each plaintiff $100,000 to settle their cases, but not all would accept that amount due to the aggressive non-disclosure agreement that Watson's team proposed, which is funny. You'll remember that it was Rusty Harden and Watson's team that said they did not want a non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
We want everyone
to be able to say it.
Yeah, right.
I never believed
that for a minute. Watson's legal team initially accused all 22 plaintiffs of being liars while at the same time complaining to the court that Watson did not know who they were. Watson's team has now been forced to admit that there was sexual contact with some of the victims, but he does not identify which ones and now claims that the sexual contact was consensual. Watson's team has spent its time attempting to pick apart the strikingly similar and simple stories each plaintiff has related about their interactions with Watson, but has never explained why a self-described world-class athlete sought out random strangers on Instagram, never asked about qualifications, training, skill set, or licensure, traveled in some cases almost an hour out of town. That is, you've been asking that question. What? What are you doing? Who are these? And they're not even licensed.
It's an easy question. I mean, but the answer is this. The answer is, in my opinion, that this was just sexual in nature.
Yes.
It's a fetish he has. It's something that he likes. If this was about a massage, you go to people you really like. If it's really about breaking down deep tissue, you go to professionals. There's a lot of professional masseuses that work on athletes here in the Houston area who will work. I mean, the Texans would find you. He's got one, I'm sure, that handles the real stuff, the stretch in the IT, you know, the strip in the IT band and working the deep tissue in the shoulder and in the back of the shoulder. I mean, he's got somebody that does that. For sure. This was not about a sports. It was not about a sports massage, a deep tissue massage. This was his own, you know, this was his own fetish. And then clearly he wanted, you know, if I'm just analyzing it, it's not about just one. It's not one person. Why didn't you just stick with one or two people? Because that's not what it's about.
No.
It's the conquest.
No,
I mean, this has all the makings of a conquest. Looking for a conquest. That's why it's certainly going to be more than the 23 that are on there. Whatever the number is, it would be high. It may have been in other cities too, whenever he traveled, you know, who knows, but, this isn't about massage. That's why the easy question is, if this is about a massage, why were you not going to a licensed masseuse? And why were you randomly reaching out on DMs? Well, I mean, I know the answer and everyone knows the answer. So how does Deshaun answer it? You can't. So I don't know, if you're Deshaun, you avoid that as much as you can.
Yeah, no, there's no, well, listen, that's got to be asked over and over and over again, because there is motive here. His motive was, because it's not about professionalism, it's not about a massage.
Well, yeah, I guess it is a question, because then if it's not about a massage, then what is it about?
Yeah, what's
it's about a sexual conquest of some sort. Well, then all of a sudden You got a real problem on your hands if you're Deshaun's side, because then the civil suits are going to be a bunch of W's is what it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This wasn't about massages. And I think that's what, obviously, Tony Busby knows.
I mean, even the most ardent Deshaun defender who would say, I don't believe that he's sexually assaulted anyone, whatever the case may be. I think if you just got that person alone in a room, you said, okay, just man to man here, what do you think happened? I think it'd be hard for them to say anything other than exactly what it looks like to everybody. Anytime you're asking someone who doesn't give a massage to give a massage, and you're going to direct messages on Instagram.
And you bring in your baby towel, your little quarterback towel with you.
Dude, we're all dudes. None of this makes any sense at all. No. I had somebody from an NFL team call me after this went, and I said, what's going on with your boy in Houston? I said, that's not my guy. I'm just watching this unfold just like you are. He said, do you understand that at Rookie Symposium, the topics that are covered, this is like, maybe not specifically, but this guy said, you're basically told, this is not the activity. Do not get on social media and go through, you know, social media outlets, because this is how bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Deshaun is a full-on superstar doing this. And by the way, Deshaun is a superstar. I consider Deshaun, to our conversation yesterday, I think Deshaun Watson's a superstar. Probably because of, and he doesn't have a bunch of great wins.
Well, some of it, he is more, he's a lot more well-known now because of the lawsuits.
He is, but from a football standpoint, I still would have called him superstar before him. And that's a separate conversation with yesterday. Right. Forget it. But I think Watson's in trouble with the civil suits. It wouldn't shock me if, and especially with a new contract, I wouldn't be surprised if for people to be very sympathetic to, is this going to be a jury or is it a judge that's hearing this? Is it a jury trial that's going to go through?
I don't know that that's been decided yet.
If it goes through, I'll bet you it ends up being closer to the $4 million mark.
Yeah. Well, I think that the ones that where he was accused of being much more aggressive, those are the ones that are going to be collecting a large amount of money. And I don't know that you can put a limit on what
that's going to be. The problem you have is now you have the perception that you spit in the face of everything by signing, by getting out of a contract and signing a brand new one. Now, if you perceive it that way, you know, if that's your narrative that you got out of a contract, you got all this guaranteed money, it looks like you are, it could be perceived as kind of a, you know, spitting in the face of everything that took place. In reality, they are separate things. One is a business thing and one is a personal thing. So, but I also understand that general humans may see this as something else and they may want to kind of put the screws to Deshaun Watson on this one.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see what the NFL does. Because the NFL's NFL's deal is there's going to be a financial consequence for him and there is going to be a games played consequence at some point.
Yeah. Apparently, Mike Trout is now in the Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson deal.
I saw.
Yeah.
So no, they say Pham is joking. They're like, Pham poked fun, and we don't hear the tone. But when I read it, it feels like just angry Tommy Pham. I didn't read this as a joke.
Apparently, Adam Schefter tweeted this. No fantasy football commissioner ever should have to endure the type of criticism that the commissioner of Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson's league, Mike Trout, is now getting. Trout did a terrible job, man, Tommy Pham said. Trout's the worst commissioner in fantasy sports.
And even he said in fantasy sports, he allowed a lot of ship to go on, and he couldn't solve it all. I don't want to be the effing commissioner. I've got other bleep to do. Trout didn't want to do it. We put it on him, so it's kind of our fault, too, because we made him commissioner. So I guess he was joking, but I just never think Tommy Pham. I think Tommy, you know who Tommy Pham reminds me of? Tommy Pham reminds me of Tommy from Goodfellas. Like, and then you say, whoa, what do you mean I'm a clown? What do you mean by that? No, I mean, you're funny, Tommy Pham. You're funny. The way you tell stories, you're funny. Why, I amuse you with these fantasy football stories? I always get the sense that Tommy Pham is on the verge of slapping everybody.
Yeah.
Based on his background.
No, Tommy Pham is a bitch.
Based on his background, Tommy Pham gets mad.
I think you want him on your team, but you don't want to piss him off in the locker room. That's
for
sure.
Who was the guy from the Reds that tried to fight the entire Pittsburgh Pirates? Remember the pitcher?
Oh,
you've seen the picture. Where he ran into their dugout and fought everybody?
Yeah. How about this? Pro Football Talk says a 24th lawsuit will be filed against Deshaun Watson. See, I was so used.
Did you say 24th?
24th. Because the 23rd came yesterday, 24th is coming now, is on its way. Apparently, yet another lawsuit is heading its way. I'm kind of pissed off because 22 was in my head for a long time. It was going to be hard to get used to saying 23 lawsuits. Now 24? Can we go for 20? I got 24. I need 25. Can I got 23? Got 23. We're going to get 25.
26. So, 29 lawsuits for $3.9 million.
While there may indeed be serious weaknesses in one or more of the claims made against Watson, there are now 24 people making those claims. How can a reasonable person accept that all 24 are wrong or lying? Or that Busby has somehow engineered, without a hitch, a conspiracy of women who have weak cases to come together and to stay together for nearly 15 months and counting. It is true. It's just the numbers are just ridiculous. If I was them, why didn't Deshaun, the 18 agreed. Why didn't they do it? Why didn't they take care of the 18? Give them $100,000
each. And be done with it?
And be done with those 18.
Shut it down. Because then that just quote-unquote goes away. And it now is a four-person case.
Four, now five,
more,
six.
More manageable. Yeah, now
well,
it's...
Well,
yeah.
Tony Busby is right now. Now everybody who gave Deshaun Watson a massage is going to is gonna
oh,
get
Oh, no, in. this number... Well, we do see in our society, and this is not a they're right, they're wrong, or whatever. But what we do know happens is we see copycat stuff. We see once one, and it can be that other people find their voice and they get the courage to do it, or it can be, you know, for salacious, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity, whatever the case may be. What we do know is that things will happen in a series of events. And so once it went from 22 to 23, I guarantee you 25 is in 26 are right around the corner. By the end of this week, we will have our 26th lawsuit. I guarantee that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
Because as soon as 23 happened, look how fast 24 came out. And it's not it, – 25 and 26 will be coming. There will be a new wave of lawsuits coming for Deshaun Watson now. Because now you – and now you have to really be concerned about Deshaun. Not about Deshaun, but if you are on Deshaun's team, you have to be concerned. Well, now everyone's going to be coming. And whether they have a – valid claim or not, they're going to take their shot here. So this thing is going to get messy for Cleveland. It's still going to get messy.
Oh,
they thought they just faded the heat publicly and they'd be fine. I think this is going to be more than they bargained for in Cleveland.
843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here about anything, you're more than welcome to do that. Right now, I am talking about Chastain Ford. My people over there. I really, really, really like the people at Chastain Ford, and it's kind of a big deal because I'm part of the family now. I am not going to go anywhere else because I know I'm getting the squarest deal. I know I'm getting the best deal that I possibly can. I know that they're going to work their ass off to get me into the payments that I need and get me all the rebates that they possibly can. They worked my daughter's deal so great. It was unbelievable, but it's not, and they did the same with mine. I got the Expedition, and I told them I had to be at this certain price. I had this much a month, and I wanted the best Expedition I could possibly get. And sure enough, they did it. They worked it. They got rebates. They did everything they possibly could. All the other dealerships are marking up. They're adding on. They're trying to gouge as much money as they possibly can because the car business has not been great. So they've got to just get gouge and gouge and gouge and gouge. And that's not what they're doing at Chastain Ford. They got pre-owned certified vehicles on the lot. Gold certification on the lot right now that you can get and take advantage of. They got Eco Sports out there. They've got everything you can buy. I'm telling you. And oh, by the way, these work vans that they've got and customize them for you, they're perfect. If you're looking for the best way to get that Ford car, truck, or that pre-owned vehicle as well, ChastainFord.com, or you can go to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of stuff going on. Yesterday, Nadal beat Djokovic. That was a huge match. In a quarterfinal match, those two should never be playing in the quarterfinals. That should always be the final. But they were a quarterfinal match because Nadal's foot, apparently he's dropped to number 5 in the rankings, and he was the 5th seed, and Djokovic was the 1, and Nadal, the 5th seed, came out the winner. Great, great match. University of Texas playing Arizona State in the NCAA championships in golf. That was fun yesterday. Watched most of that. That was good fun. A couple of local guys in it, Mason Gnome and Cole Hammer. So that's good, and they got a couple of cooties that are really good players. So this is going to be a good matchup because it's basically – Arizona State's home course. So that's just good, clean fun. And speaking of golf, Dustin Johnson is going to play in the Saudi Golf League inaugural event in June next month, in the 9th through the 11th, I believe. He's teeing it up. Kevin Na is going to tee it up. Charles Schwartzel, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, Graham McDowell. Some names you know. They're all going to be there. And they don't get a waiver from the PGA Tour. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes, what happens as we go down the line. If the PGA Tour relents and lets him play, it opens the door for everybody going over there, right?
Yeah. That's why you can't let it happen. You can't, if you're the PGA, you can't let them get a foot in the door. So you got to shut this all down. So, yeah, I expect them to, what's going to be interesting is how does the PGA respond to it? If these guys go play, you got to make a point. You know, that brought up, I meant to bring this up last hour, the situation with the Rams and Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald has several more years left on his contract, and he's saying if he doesn't get a new contract, he's going to retire. Now, this is the problem you have with the Rams. All those F those draft picks concepts, you're basically getting star players, but it's going to be roster management's going to be tricky now with the way players treat contracts as though they don't matter any longer. At least the star players do. Star players say, I'm not really happy with this contract, but you just signed it. It's not valid anymore. Look how much this guy's making. So I don't want this contract anymore. Aaron Donald is in a tremendous position of strength, right? He's still the best defensive player in football. May go down as the greatest defensive lineman to ever play the game. And that's a strong statement. J.J. Watt, Reggie White. I mean, J.J. won player of the year three times. Reggie White was an all-time beast. Just the history. Lawrence Taylor is an outside edge rusher. But I don't know that I've ever seen anyone as disruptive and dominant as Aaron Donald. With that all said, he is under contract. You have given away all your draft picks. You have all these star players that you've accumulated, and now how do you pay them all? Well, you were lucky enough to get rid of Todd Gurley's contract like 3 years ago. You got rid of Jared Goff's contract a couple years ago. The Texans did you a huge favor by taking Brandon Cook's contract off your hands. Not that Cook's a bad player, but they had to start offloading contracts. So now you are fundamentally – you gave up two first-round picks for a player that complained his way off of Jacksonville. So you helped facilitate the David Mulligetta strategy of just complain your way out of a team.
Mm-hmm.
So you helped do that. You were complicit in that if you are the Rams. Now, if you are complicit in going over, and it's not the first time this would happen where a player, quote-unquote, outplays a contract. That was a big contract that Aaron Donald was given. If you give into a new contract this quickly, you are now opening a door for every player in your contract to ask for the same thing. Now, you could easily say you're not Aaron Donald, and I'm sure that's what you would say. But this is a problem for the Rams because I think the Rams have to sit tight on this one. And Aaron Donald's new messaging, he's going out and getting on shows now, and he was on I Am Athlete. And his new message is, I'm fine. He just signed with Donda, which is the agency for Kanye West. He and Jaylen Brown both did. And I'm thinking, well, for a guy who said he's fine retiring and he may have played his last football, which, you know, I feel like is just 100% just a leverage play.
Yeah.
I do not believe that he's leaving football at all. He's been doing this since the week of the Super Bowl. If you're the Rams and he leaves, then what were you? You couldn't do anything about it, but he did help you bring a title. Like, you got a title thanks to Aaron Donald. Literally on the last play of the game, Aaron Donald was a dominant factor that prevented Joe Burrow from making a winning play. So you got what you came for Aaron Donald. If he leaves, it's not the end of the world. It'll hurt you in the short term. But if he leaves, he leaves. And it frankly will open up some opportunities financially that you're going to need because you don't have draft picks. If you win that game of chicken, then you're able to keep him under his contract now, which is something that could benefit you in the future. And it allows you to, you know, keep your contract where you negotiated it. I mean, it's actually a binding contract the other way around. You have to pay Aaron Donald what is due him no matter how he plays. So if you're the Rams, I think you have to hold tight on that one because it opens up a real sticky situation for you moving forward since you've got all these star players.
But Aaron Donald, nobody can say, listen, if you lose Aaron Donald, you possibly lose that locker room. Secondly, no one can say, I deserve it. Aaron Donald got a contract. I deserve one.
But if he retires, he retires. If he says, because what he came out and said is, I'm happy
you believe
where
that?
I'm in. No, I think he's lying.
Yeah.
I think he's using it for leverage. But what Aaron Donald said is there's a chance. I mean, he won his title. There's a chance that Aaron Donald would go out knowing that he just won a title and he's the most dominant player. John Elway could have kept playing some football. But he went out after he won a title. But
This is more like Barry Sanders.
Yeah, this is more like Barry Sanders, for sure.
Yeah.
But Barry Sanders went out and he was fine with it and said he never had any regrets. I think Aaron Donald, if he retired, then it's going to be about, I'm just done playing. Not because he's playing chicken. If he plays chicken, he's still going to come back and take the money. That's what's going to happen. If he loses the chicken, if he loses the battle of chicken and shuts it down. See, I don't think they're similar. You're making a lot of money. If this is truly about, I may have played my last football, then this isn't a game of chicken for a higher contract. You're just deciding if you want to keep playing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't believe that whole retirement thing. I think this is about, using it as leverage to get the most, and that's why he went on I Am Athlete to get some sound bites out.
What was the Aaron Rodgers thing about? Listen, when you're the best in the game, you want to be paid like it, and you feel disrespected.
Yeah, Aaron did the same.
Aaron
did
the best same in the game. Thing. Aaron is doing the same thing. This is the same deal. He might retire, but you know, Aaron Rodgers is playing the same card.
Yeah, I think the only difference is length of contract that they were under, but it's the same idea.
Yeah.
We're at the top of our game,
and we want to be paid accordingly.
We want to be paid accordingly.
But that, you're right. That is the problem with these draft picks because. Look at all the guys that are making
money. You don't have inexpensive labor.
No.
Everything's more expensive.
Everything is. Although they have a lot of young players on the field. It's the haves, so much of the haves, and the have-nots. They've got a lot of guys under
first
contract.
There's not a middle class over there. And
there's
at some
none.
Point, the younger guys become middle class guys. So you're going to have to at some point, you got to really restock with draft picks. And they've got to really kill their second, third, and fourth round.
All right, 713-780-3776. Who wants in? You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Who wants to eat at Paul Miller's restaurants? That's the question.
I do. I wish he would just bring food up every single day. This time I want to talk about, I talked about Union Kitchen the other day. I want to talk about Jack's Grill. And I want to take you on a little trip here for lunch. Let's say you head out for lunch and you're going to go grab a beer because maybe you can grab a beer during your lunch, or maybe you're off today. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not trying to judge you. You do what you want to. You're going to start off with the Three Amigos sampler, the green chili queso, guacamole, and the salsa roja, along with your tortilla chips. That's how you and your buddies are going to start this thing. You got one friend who says, you know what, guys, I'm going to eat a little healthier. I'm going to have the salmon salad. And you say, okay, that's cool. I'm going to have a burger, so let's go with the backyard barbecue burger. Mesquite grilled beef patty, toasted bun, American cheese, bacon, barbecue aioli, crispy onion strings. That's absolutely delicious. You got your other friend who says, oh, no, I come here for the chicken fried steak. So he gets chicken fried steak. And then finally, you got the friend who loves fish. So they get the rainbow trout, the grilled rainbow trout with the rice, pilaf, and vegetables. They're going a little healthier than you are. Look at the variety of eating that you can get done. It's unbelievable. You want a stuffed baked potato with barbecue, they can do that for you as well. Your grilled fajita platter, of course they've got that for you. Santa Fe chicken, kids' meals like corn dog bites, the chicken tenders, the grilled cheese, the burger, the cheeseburger, they've got it all for you. And they've got incredible desserts. Jack's Rita's, beers, drinks for the kids, TVs all over the place. And there is an item on the menu for everyone, no matter what you are looking for. It's Jack's Grill. The three locations in Houston are available on their website. That's jacksgrillhouston.com.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.